Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. In addition to grades on your report card, sometimes teachers make comments. And on the foreverforeverymom.com website, they had a list of some comments that were made by teachers that were obviously trying to be encouraging to the students as they, in addition to grades. Here's a couple. Possesses the energy of a small power plant, which ensures lively participation in all activities. I think I've met that little boy. Here's another comment by a teacher on a report card. If enthusiasm were a class, he'd have an A++ for his boundless zest. Another one is, has the unique ability to pursue a dozen questions at once and often circles back to each one. His desk is a treasure trove of doodles, showcasing a creative mind at full throttle. Turn simple tasks into epic adventures, complete with plot twists and dramatic conclusions. Has a knack for multitasking that sometimes includes tasks not yet assigned. Wow. Well, anyway, there's a bunch on this website, and it just goes to show teachers are trying to be encouraging as they're wanting to let parents know how their students are doing in school. Well, how is your church doing on the report card? What little comments might the Lord Jesus add to your church's report card in addition to their grades? Well, we've been considering specifically the pastoral epistles, looking at the pastoral epistles to figure out what criteria the Lord would use on his report card for your church, because it is far different than the way a lot of pastors and churches are judged by people. I mean, it can be very tempting if you're tempted with people-pleasing to want to try to accommodate people's desires for your church. I mean, when I first came to Faith Bible Church over 30 years ago, we had 35 people in our church. I mean, some of those first summer Sundays when people were on vacation were so depressing. You know, you look around and go, oh, I did all this work preparing this meal and hardly anybody is here. And you really had to remind yourself of things that were true. But when you're in a situation like that, and then people are judging your church based on this or that or the other, you're tempted to say, oh, we better do this and that and the other so that they give us a good grade. But far more important is what does the Lord grade our church on? Because you know what? If the Lord gives you an A as a church, and even if that new visitor gives you an F, you win, right? You're being faithful to the Lord, where this new visitor might not be judging you rightly. So we've seen 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Let's go to Titus and see what Titus adds to our list of criterions for the Lord's report card for your church. I think that chapter 2, 1 through 10, really highlights the instruction that Paul gives Titus to instruct the various members of the church in their roles. He deals with older men and older women. So Titus is responsible to train older women to instruct the younger women for how they are to be in the church. He is then focused on the younger men as well. And he even talks about slaves and masters in that first century Roman Empire context, how they are to be. And I think that a lot of churches get the roles of men and women confused and distorted. And so the Lord is looking, and as he looks at the report card and says, is it just a distorted mess? Is it just a reflection of worldly values? Or are you teaching the different roles for men and women and being respectable older men and women in the church? Because if you're not, then that is going to count against you on the report card. You might get a little comment from Jesus. Looks like the world or something like that, instead of sorting it out. And as we say whenever we teach on men's and women's roles, we're not talking about your value or worth. It's just we're different, right? I mean, if you were going to judge the difference between a hammer and a wrench, what matters is what they're designed for. They're both equally tools. They're both very valuable tools. It's like, can you use a wrench to drive a nail into a board? Well, technically, you probably could, but it's not going to go very well. Each of us have different roles. And so the Bible lays these out, and godly churches teach on them faithfully. All right. Another criterion the Lord uses is to pursue gospel-based good works. Now, this is interesting because in Titus, it comes up a lot. It's very unusual, I think, how often good works are pointed out. Like in chapter 1, verse 16, he talks about false teachers, and he says they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They're detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Now, that becomes especially significant as he continues to highlight the importance of good works in a church. In verse 14 of chapter 2, he talks about people who are to be zealous for good works. In chapter 3, verse 1, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. Verse 8 of chapter 3 says, this saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. And then even one more down in verse 14 of Titus 3, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. Well, what are the good works he's looking for? I think it's works of love. It's works of graciousness, sacrificing of yourself to be a servant to others in need, showing hospitality. These are good works, being a blessing to the people around you. So once again, I've been to churches where people maybe are excited about the truth. They're looking to fill their notebooks with information and facts about the Bible. But in terms of engaging with one another in the body of Christ, there's a big lack. I've told some people who visited our church, you really don't know how good our church is. Again, I'm not bragging. I'm just so thankful for God's grace. If I'm bragging on anything, it's the grace of God to our church. I said, you will know the significance of our church family when you are in crisis, when you have something out of the way. You know, maybe you have a new baby, or maybe somebody's sick, and the people that rally around, the people that come check in, the people that help you out. I mean, that is great when a church is getting a good grade in good works. All right, number three, third criterion from Titus that we're highlighting is gospel-fueled sanctification. Gospel-fueled sanctification. And that is our classic text in Titus 2, starting in verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Now, this is huge. This is really important. And we see a clear pattern broken down here in Titus. Maybe I want to tell you what it's not before we see what it is. It's not legalism. Titus, you're not supposed to be looking for a church. You're not supposed to be helping to lead a church that just pounds its members with rules, okay? You're also not supposed to be leading a church that is just focused on the gospel and not emphasizing good works that flow from that, okay? We actually have to take a break. This is too important to just say a minute comment on. I need to talk a little bit more about this criterion of gospel-fueled sanctification, because every word is so important in this. And if you want to make sure that your church is getting a good grade from the Lord, you need to know about that. Come back after the break and we will talk more about it.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment, who continues his series and teaching on how God grades churches versus how we as fallen human beings actually judge churches. And that's the kind of teaching Dr. Kratz is producing and all of our fellows are producing here at Fortis Institute each and every day. And you can find all of that teaching on the place where we distribute all of the content, and that's Fortis Plus. I don't know if you've downloaded it just yet, but I want to urge you to do that because it's loaded with hundreds of hours of content from people like Dr. Kratz and Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. Adam Tyson, Libby Glosson, and Todd Friel, and they're creating content on things like church life and biblical leadership, theology, marriage and parenting, biblical manhood and biblical womanhood. And this content helps you look at and evaluate ministry with a biblical worldview, not looking at it pragmatically. And we're adding new content every single day. And the best part about it all is that it is absolutely free. That's right, it doesn't cost you a dime. And it's just not a free download of the app. And then we hit you with, oh, you gotta subscribe for this or this level here, or you can get this for this level, or you can get even more over here if you're this level of a partner. Nope, 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 nope. That's not what happens. You download Fortis Plus. Yes, the app is free. And all of the content inside of it, all of it, is absolutely free of charge as well. You'll never be asked to pay a dime for anything in Fortis Plus. Nothing at all. We provide it for free. That's the heartbeat of our ministry, is we want to provide resources to the church for free. And the reason we're able to do that, because of our gospel partners. These are men and women just like you. But first, before I get to that, I did skip over how you can download Fortis Plus if you haven't downloaded it yet. You go to the App Store where you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or you can also go to fortisplus.org. Now, back to why it's free. It's because of our gospel partners. Like I said, these are men and women just like you who believe in the mission of Fortis Institute, so much so that they decided they wanted to stand with us and partner with us so that we would have the ability and the resources to reach more people in more places all over the world. If anything we've produced here at Fortis Institute has impacted your life and you also would like to stand with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be honored to link arms with you. Now, what does that look like in your life? You can get the answer to that right now by going to fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now, back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. The clock got me there at the last segment. I ran out of time to talk about what I needed to talk about. Have you taken the time, by the way, to give a rating and review to Integrated? That is so helpful. And hit that subscribe button and be sure to share episodes with friends at church, talk it up a little bit, because that really is a blessing to the Fortis Plus family, because that helps us get on the radar of brothers and sisters who may need to engage with us in these conversations. Today, we're talking about the church report card, and I left you with a criterion that the Lord is going to be judging your church based on, and it is, what kind of grade do you get on gospel-fueled sanctification, right? Maybe you've got a great parking lot. Maybe your building is squeaky clean, even the restrooms. Maybe people are smiley and friendly to visitors. All those are good things. But how does it go with the teaching and preaching of the church with regards to gospel-fueled sanctification? In Titus 2, 11 through 14, we see God's grace appearing, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. So basically, when you think about the gospel, when you remind yourself of God's truth, that I deserve God's wrath, Jesus loved me and saved me based on His grace alone, through His work on the cross for my sin and rising from the dead. I trusted in Him and I'm saved. I'm not saved by my works, but guess what? I am saved to go to work. The grace of God doesn't just leave you where you were, right? The old hymn, just as I am, I come to Jesus without one plea. You know, I come to Jesus, the Lamb of God. Yes, great. But God does not leave you just as you were. When you focus on the grace of God, it motivates you, it fuels you, it inspires you to say no to your sin and yes to righteousness. That's what I mean by gospel-fueled sanctification. There are some that think, oh, I'm going to get a good grade from the Lord because I pound people with rules. Do this, don't do that. We don't really talk about the gospel. Yeah, the gospel gets you saved, but now it's about the rules. And there are legalistic atmospheres like that. You find that actually does not get you a good grade from the Lord. In fact, the Lord might take you over to Galatians and say, you failed here because you've made it all about you. But then the exact opposite error also shows up in other churches that we sometimes call hyper grace or gospel only sanctification, where, you know, sanctification is our spiritual growth and progress to become more and more like Jesus. And some people say, well, the way that that happens is just focus on the gospel. In fact, you can't really live the Christian life. And so you should just focus that Jesus lived it through you. And that's enough. Just sit back and bask in the glory of the grace of God. And that's it. Don't try to obey. You know, that'll turn into legalism, right? And we know that there is a danger of legalism, but it's like two sides of the road and there's ditches on both sides. That's no excuse to not go down the road. And the road is, yes, we have gospel-based imperatives, and that leads to indicatives, commands that we are to obey by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jerry Bridges used the illustration of two wings of the airplane: dependence. Yes, we're depending on the Lord. We're depending on God's grace, and discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. So dependence is one wing and discipline is the other, and we need them both. If our church is going to get an A by God's grace on the church report card. Another criterion that the Lord uses to judge churches is that the church would have a gracious atmosphere. I mean, is that important? You know, we like it when people are nice, but sometimes we make jokes about churches that are just nice with no emphasis on the truth. Well, we dare not choose between these things. Both are vitally important. And a gracious atmosphere is spelled out in Titus 3:2. To speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. I love that. That's wonderful. we ought not to just be the Lord's grumpy soldiers, you know, oh, we're battle scarred truth monsters. And we club people over the head and pat each other on the back for using the club of truth to bang out the error of the day. No, we should be known for our love and our grace. That's really what marks a Christian out. And so, yes, the Lord's going to be looking and evaluating the atmosphere of our church. Will you get an A, or is there work to do? Will you get a clever comment from Jesus on your report card? Basically letting the parents know that there's still work to do here, and letting the members of the church know that there's still work to do. Another criteria that the Lord will use is that the church takes sin seriously. Does your church practice church discipline? And I know that some people think that their churches do, because if a staff member gets caught with his hand in the cookie jar, so to speak, they are sort of forced to acknowledge that publicly. Well, that's very different than church discipline. Places like Matthew 18 talk about going privately and trying to rescue a brother or sister who is in sin and win them back. And, you know, going again with a semi-private meeting and then telling it to the church. But even then, the purpose in Matthew 18, 15 through 17 is not to humiliate the person or to embarrass them. It's to win them back. That's what we're trying to do. But then there's another kind of church discipline when a person is causing division in the church. And in Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, as for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. Now, isn't it interesting that you could imagine some people in the church family that said, listen, we need to be cultivating that gracious atmosphere that Dr. Crotz spoke of, right? I know we're not getting the grade that the Lord wants us to, and so let's move the needle to be all about love. Well, then someone sins grievously, and maybe they're causing division in the church, but this same person that wants to move the needle all to love then doesn't want to do anything about such a divisive person. There are no warnings to that person to try to help them and to rescue them. Instead, there's minimization and excuses, and let's just not bother him and maybe pat him on the back and hope he does better next time. But that's not loving. You say, well, I thought it is loving. I'm not embarrassing him or talking about his sin. Yeah, but you're leaving him in his sin. And that's really not loving to those precious sheep in the Lord's household that are being tainted by the sin and division. It's actually quite loving to go to people and to help rescue them from their sin. And certainly a divisive person, to have nothing more to do with them. Seems like the opposite of love, but it's actually very loving to alert them to the severity of their situation and to protect the church family. Well, we've been considering Titus, and I've really skipped by many things that Titus has highlighted, because we've covered it in previous episodes as we have looked at 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. There is some repetition. So there's a whole list of elder qualifications in Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. So that's very important. And we see one thing that's highlighted in Titus's list that's not necessarily highlighted in Timothy, in 1 Timothy 3, is verse 9, he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and to rebuke those who contradict it. I mean, Timothy is told that the elders have to be able to teach, but here it is really explicit. You've got to know the Bible and you've got to be willing to engage, go to work. I mean, he tells Titus in chapter 1, verse 11, they must be silenced, talking about false teachers, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. So warnings against false teachers show up again. The importance of authoritative preaching shows up again. These are things that are on the Lord's report card. Are they things that are true in your life? Are they things that are true in your church? Thanks for checking out Integrated today. It's been good to think about these things, but let's not just make them theoretical. What is one takeaway that you can take to try to implement in your church or to do your part in helping your church to do God's word?
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krantz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krantz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.